We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy Thursday to you here on 98.1 KMBZ. It is a TV theme song Thursday. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. We are going to kick things off with a very special guest. He is the former Secretary of State in Missouri. He was in the Missouri House of Representatives, a captain in the National Guard. He ran for Senate in 2016. Recently has been in the news after removing himself from the Kansas City mayoral race to deal with PTSD and depression. And this week announced he is joining forces with the Veterans Community Project right here in Kansas City. And now the plan is to expand the VCP outside of the area. It is our pleasure. We welcome in Jason Kander here on KMBZ. Jason, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks very much for having me. I think my mic is on.
Your mic is on. Okay, yes. We're just trying to make sure we don't lose anything here.
No,
we
it's
make
fine. Sure. I appreciate it. I'm, as you know, new to all this. it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk to us first about how the Veterans Community Foundation came into your life, how you first became familiar with them.
So, I'm here with my friend Brian Meyer, who's the CEO and a co-founder.
Thanks for the introduction, Mike. Yeah, well, appreciate it.
Well, you used to be our go-to guy for all things Veterans Community Project.
We don't really need you anymore.
Really don't. I mean, one of you came to my wedding, but I don't need you anymore.
I'll just sit here and breathe awkwardly into the microphone. It's okay.
So I'm my friend Brian is one of the co-founders of it, and about 6 weeks before I made my announcement saying, "Hey, I need to step back and get treatment for post-traumatic stress," almost 12 years after my combat deployment, I did a VIP tour of Veterans Community Project, and Brian and the other co-founders took me around, and I was just blown away by it. One of those times on the campaign trail where you're so inspired, you go home. And in my case, you tell your wife, like, man, I wish I could just quit what I'm doing and just do that all the time. But at the same time, part of campaign life is I just kind of went back to campaigning. I mean, the next day you go back to raising money and shaking hands and doing that kind of thing and don't think about it again really for a bit. And then, everybody kind of knows the rest of the story. Things got to a point where I was like, hey, I need to step back. And when I did that, I went to the VA. They gave me a whole bunch of paperwork and I realized, I was not in the best mental space at that moment. And I thought, and this is going to be pretty hard for me to navigate. I felt a little bit overwhelmed by it. And here I am. I mean, I'm not homeless. I'm not, I'm in the best possible situation I could be in to navigate that process. I've got a law degree from Georgetown, a phone full of influential contacts, some pretty high-level government experience. And I was like, man, I need some help with this. So I texted Brian, told him that, and he said, why don't you come in? So 6 weeks after visiting the place and getting a tour, I walked through the doors just no different than any other of the 4,000-plus vets in Kansas City who have gotten help there. And Brian and the team helped me navigate that process, made a big difference for me. So I was super inspired by that and grateful for it and just kept hanging around the place. I mean, I like hanging around other combat vets. It's fun for me, kind of therapeutic. And, the rest is sort of pretty obvious, I guess. They just said at some point, like, hey, we've gotten all these inquiries about creating a national organization out of this. You've done that before. You want to come help us do it? And after I was done with all my weekly therapy and that kind of thing, I said, yeah, let's do this.
So a lot of people know the Veterans Community Project for the Tiny House Project, but I like that you are describing the other element to it, which is to kind of be one central point for a process that can be overwhelming. There's just a lot to it. In fact, a lot of veterans don't even know what kind of help is available out there and that this can be a place to find out all those kinds of resources. Can you talk more about the two missions of the project?
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you pointing that out because while what we do with tiny houses is incredibly important and I think revolutionary in terms of serving vets, particularly veterans homelessness, it's really important that people know that the overall mission of Veterans Community Project, whether you're talking about housing for homeless vets or you're just talking about folks like myself who just need a little bit of help, getting services, it's really about filling the gaps in veteran services. I mean, you hear people talk all the time about some of the shortcomings of the VA, for instance. Now, we're not in the practice of, being down on the VA. Like, in fact, all of, you know, all the co-founders, myself, all the leadership of the organization, we go to the VA. So that's not what it's about. It's just about the reality of there are gaps in services. So rather than complain about those gaps or anything like that, what I love about Veterans Community Project is that we just sort of slide into the gap to try and fill it. So, and it's not always with, you know, veteran specific federal services. I mean, what's always amazed me about the organization is the way that, you know, if you are a veteran and maybe you're homeless and you're not going to come off the street without your dog, well, they hook you up with veterinary services. If you're, you know, whether you're homeless or not, you need dental services. They have a dentist who is just part of the community who wants to donate services. The thing about VCP is everybody who you meet wants to do something for veterans, right? But all you're usually asked to do, unfortunately, is stand up at a ball game and applaud when one is recognized, maybe stop somebody in the airport, thank them for their service, and that's all appreciated. But I think folks are burning to do more. And the operative word in Veterans Community Project is community. It's about bringing the community to veterans and veterans to the community and giving somebody, no matter what your skill set is, no matter how it is you're able to help, just giving everybody an opportunity to actually do something for veterans.
Jason Kander joining us in studio along with Brian Meyer from the Veterans Community Project here on 98.1 KMBZ. You know, it's funny when we talk about the two planes and the differences. Do we just paint veterans with the broad brush, especially the homeless veterans with the broad brush, and say, they just need help. They need all kinds of help. Whereas someone like you, you're not a homeless veteran, but you're someone who has admitted that you need some help filling in the gaps. Is the brush too broad that we paint you with?
You know, I think another way, and I'd have Brian speak to this probably better, but I think, which as a politician, that won't stop me from trying.
Right.
but I think I think another way to look at that really is that sometimes the broad brush that we use is an assumption that if someone is a veteran, that the services that they need are available to them. And I wish that that's how it worked with the system, but it doesn't. I mean, unfortunately, and this is not the fault of anyone at the VA. Everyone I've dealt with at the VA has been great. But the way the system is set up, you can't just walk into the VA and say, I'm a veteran, I need help. There are an awful lot of people out there who the average person on the street would consider a veteran. You know, maybe they have what we refer to as a bad paper discharge. Maybe they have, you know, all sorts of different reasons. There's just, and Brian can speak to sort of the cheat sheet he always has to use to figure out eligibility. There are an awful lot of people who we all think of as a veteran who don't necessarily meet the eligibility standards. And often, and I'll let Brian speak to it, that's really who we serve.
Yeah, no, Jason really hit it. The broad brush is the assumption that if you're a vet and you have an issue, you can have that addressed through the VA. And if you're a certain type of veteran, that is 100% correct. There are a lot of veterans out there where the VA addresses almost any issue they will have, but there's a much larger population and it becomes completely dependent on a lot of different things, right? So what Jason's talking about is this cheat sheet that I put together is, it's basically a matrix, right? And the services you qualify for are dependent on how long you served, what time period you served in, active versus reserve, type of discharge you had. There's a ton of factors and it gets really, really complicated, right? Which is part of the motivation behind VCP coming forward and saying, look, we're going to take this approach that if you've ever taken the oath to serve your country, so you raise that right hand, you wrote that blank check, you qualify for all of our services across the board. Just very simple. So if there are any vets listening, they'll understand what this means. You qualify for our services if you have a DD-214. It does not matter what is on the DD-214, which is the piece of paper you get when you're discharged, when you get out of the military, and it has a lot of that information on there that's used to determine what services you qualify for.
I want to ask both of you, and maybe Brian go first. When we talk about expansion, and Jason, you being a name and kind of having a bit of a national profile, what benefit does Jason provide to you in terms of expanding that profile and looking at expansion? What does he do for you now?
I think that, I mean, obviously, Jason brings...
He's resisting.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you really set me up there. And I just wanted to just...
He's resisting the urge to mess with me right now.
Yeah, like really badly.
I'm just watching. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Real answer then.
Try without laughing.
I know. obviously the credibility that Jason brings to the program, right? But that credibility harkens back to the fact that we are such a young organization. I can speak for all the co-founders when I say, when we started this, the intent was we're going to do something cool for Kansas City. We're all from Kansas City. We want to take care of our community. And then maybe we'll go on back to our jobs. I was an attorney beforehand. Maybe I'll go back to that. Everybody would go on and do their thing. Well, the response from all over the country, both from the individual, municipal levels, state levels, to expand the programming there, really made us step back and say, okay, we have an opportunity and we really want to do this. We feel compelled to do this for veterans all over the United States. So let's try to do that. None of us know how, right? We didn't know how to do what we did in Kansas City, but we figured it out. Jason brings all that to the table. You know, as he kind of referenced, he's worked in the national field before. He built a national organization before. So it was really just kind of a pitch to him like, hey, if you help us with this, it will make the process so much better. And
who came to who first?
I think the initial conversation went, hey, I've added it up. You've taken 115 t-shirts out of the inventory locker.
We have really good merch. Y'all should go to the website. Go to the store.
VeteransCommunityProject.org. Go to the store. Easy plug.
Like, were you on LinkedIn looking for a job, Jason? I'm just like, oh, hey, this one came up.
Was your
up,
wife
you know?
Like, all right, come on.
Get out of the house.
Let's get you out of the house here first.
No, I was, look, I mean, I was just coming in and talking about, you know, at first I was coming in and Brian was helping me with my paperwork. And then with the VA, and then we just, you know, I had lots of questions about the organization. I kept asking. And then I think a couple of times we sat down and I kind of started giving like unsolicited advice about things. And at some point it was just like, I was basically working there. And we just said, hey, why don't we actually do this?
Why don't we actually pay you to do things that you're doing?
I may have brought that up.
trust me. Oh, that part of it, he definitely brought up. I'm going to milk this for all I can. I think the actual conversation was, he was like, well, why don't you guys do this, 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 and this? And then I just threw my notebook at him. I'm like, fine, why don't you do it? And then I walked out.
Well, the walking out is an embarrassment.
You
the rest
threw
happened.
Your notebook at Jason Kander. Jason Kander, Brian Meyer from the Veterans Community Project in studio. If you have questions, text them in 22980, 22980. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Here on 98.1 KMBZ, we are joined in studio by Jason Kander, along with Brian Meyer from the Veterans Community Project, online veteranscommunityproject.org. Make sure you get that and check it out. Apparently there's merch there, so you can go ahead and get yourself
t-shirts.
Some free
t-shirts. I hear about t-shirts.
You know some what? Stuff. Hold on. Let's get his microphone turned on there, please, Grant. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say there's some great merch there. In fact, I know there's somebody probably listening right now, somebody that works down there that is fulfilling orders as we speak because it's very popular stuff.
I mean, it was Prime Day earlier
this
Brittany.
Week. Right?
Hey, Brittany. Thanks for working in the garage. We know it's hot.
Jason, you were in the mayor's race and took yourself out of the mayor's race, and you toured yesterday along with Mayor Pete Buttigieg, a Democratic candidate for the presidency, with Quentin Lucas, who wound up as the winner of the mayor election. Mm-hmm. What was it like going on a tour with a guy that you potentially could have been in the final two for, or the final two along with, excuse me.
You know, both Mayor Pete and now I guess I'll call him Mayor Quentin for symmetry, are both people who I've just been friends with for quite a while. You know, I've known Quentin longer than I've known Pete, but it was just nice. Look, when you are doing something that you really care about, like I am, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's something like this or any other job, like it's fun to show it to your friends. And I mean, that's what yesterday was for me. I mean, I've been in races before that were very contentious. The short 99 days that I was in the mayor's race was not, I didn't feel it was contentious. I mean, I just felt like, I didn't feel like I was running against anybody. Obviously we were pretty confident we were going to win, but it was going very well, but it was never like, I mean, those people are my friends. I mean, that's the difference with the mayor's race, right? It's just a bunch of people in a town who are trying to make the place better. I'm excited for Quentin, and I think Kansas City can have a lot of really good years ahead of it here.
What did Mayor Pete think of Kansas City? Had he been here before?
I don't know if he had been here before, but I know that he had a good time. I know that he went to Gates, so obviously he had a good time. And he was pretty clearly blown away by Veterans Community Project. I mean, he said that he would be going around the country telling everybody about it, and also that it's clearly a national model. And it was nice to sit with him for a while and have the opportunity to talk about some of the things that the federal government can be doing to make our mission even easier. Because we, because of what we talked about before the break about being able to take people regardless of their VA eligibility, we're a donations-based organization, which is my way of segueing into people can go to veteranscommunityproject.org and make a donation. We don't mind at all.
I want to hit you with a, that was the plug for the fundraising, but it does take.
I've done this before.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, now you get to like directly ask for money and not feel weird, because you're That's not right. like give Jason Kander money. You're like, yeah, give this organization money.
When you're in politics, you feel it is a little uncouth to go on the radio or TV and be like, make a donation to my campaign. So I didn't do that, but I got no shame about asking you to give the Veterans Community Project.
At veteranscommunityproject.org.
Ah, yes. Yeah, well done. Thank you.
We got kind of a loaded question on the text line that whoever between you would like to address it, but I think it's a good one, and I'm going to pare it down a little bit from what we got. But we have someone texting in wanting some insight into how veterans become homeless. And someone said, can you explain how they become homeless? I think I'm not the only one who doesn't understand. They go into the service, and their words are big strapping high school graduate men, and come out basically destroyed. How does that happen? Loaded question, but important, I think.
Sure. So let's just start with how a individual in general becomes homeless. Okay. So we don't need to say, basically the way I tell people to look at it is, any issue that would put a normal individual in a homeless position, right, a veteran's going to deal with that. And then a lot of times veterans have these additional issues related to their military service that make them more likely to be homeless or stay homeless, all right? So if you just look at the transition out of the military, so you're basically in a situation where everything around you is kind of right there. It's provided for you. Built network of support, any health needs you have, it's all right there. It's a truly contained system. They do a fantastic job. So you transition out. Now you've transitioned out and that network is gone. Okay. So you take, let's use the example of the high school person who as given in that. All right. 18-year-old leaves home, does 5 years in the military, comes home when they're in their early 20s, right? They've never lived independently. So now you have somebody in their early 20s who has never lived independently, thrown back probably into their hometown where most of the people they know probably aren't there anymore, or their relationships have broken down because they've been gone, and they're just trying to figure it out. And the expectation is, well, they can figure it out. They were in the military and they're 20-something years old. It creates a system and an individual who is probably more likely to get down in their times, all right? Then, say you start sleeping on the street a little bit, stuff like that. Well, military guys and gals, right? I just want to throw that out there. Veteran is an asexual term, right? We house just as many female vets as we do male vets. They're more adapt. Like, sleeping on the street, that's not intimidating, right? What's intimidating is sleeping in a shelter around a bunch of individuals that I don't know, because I have a little bit of paranoia, a little bit of heightened sense of, you know, being very vigilant about my surroundings. So am I going to sleep in a big room with a bunch of people I don't know, or am I going to throw up a tent in the woods? So there's some additional factors there.
Jason, we don't have a ton of time left with you in studio, and we get this all the time about your next move. And obviously your move now is to be with the Veterans Community Project. I have referred to you on the air as the future governor of the state of Missouri. You don't need to give me a full statement for a while on that.
That's not going
to
happen.
Do you think you'll have an itch to get back into the political world, or is this the foreseeable future, what you want to do with a tremendous cause like the VCP?
Yeah, I didn't mean to be so snarky.
All right. I'm snarky for 4 hours a day, Jason. Yeah.
I appreciate it. You know, I'm very familiar with the answer that politicians give, where they say, that's not what I'm thinking about right now. And I'm familiar with it because I spent about a year and a half giving it when people would ask me if I was going to run for president, because I was thinking I was going to run for president. I didn't really want to say that. So I have a lot of practice at avoiding questions, but I give you that preface to tell you that I'm actually not thinking about that right now. And the reason is because so often in the past, part of post-traumatic stress is it can make your current situation pretty unpleasant, right? And it can make your day-to-day pretty exhausting. And that is, for me personally, a big part of why I often thought about the future. I couched a lot of, you know, I did what a lot of people probably can relate to, which is, you know, I'll feel better when, right? It'll be okay when I achieve this or do this. And I'm seeking some sort of, I guess, redemptive value out of future accomplishment. And so my personal headspace spent a lot of time in what I can do in the future. And I now, having gone through therapy for that and being able to reflect on it, I realized that that was an avoidance or a coping mechanism. I really, really enjoy what I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying my life a lot. So I'm actually genuinely not thinking about that sort of thing. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, I'll never, ever run for office again. I don't know. But it's just that's not an important question to me right now, if that makes sense.
It does.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It totally does. I mean, because a lot of people, like you said, a lot of politicians or whomever will give the, well, I'm not thinking about that right now. Yeah. I genuinely believe that you do feel that way.
And one of the things about having been in politics is that understandably people sort of think about you in terms of what you're going to do next. So I'm very accustomed to this question. And before I started the work with VCP, and people would say, what are you going to do next? Like, I was just taking it one day at a time. So I'd just be like, well, tomorrow's leg day. You know, like, I mean, it was like, I was just thinking about my next workout. But now what I will say is, like, I think what people kind of mean in the question is that it's sort of some version, are you coming back? And my answer is like, yeah, I have come back. And this is what I'm doing. I want to expand Veterans Community Project.
I hope you see it as a positive question, because I think I speak for a lot of us when we say we see potential in you. It's a really hopeful question from people that see somebody that they see a lot of future good in, and current good in also, but future good in.
Well, I do take it as a compliment. I appreciate it. Public service comes in many forms, and I'm very excited about being back to public service by doing this work, which people can learn more about by going to veteranscommunityproject.org.
Well done.
That's a nice way.
Can I just say something real quick? I think you need to start flipping that question on people when they're like, what are you going to do next? Just go all in. Go, I'm going to end veteran homelessness. What are you doing?
That's a good point. I would like to amend my answer. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Jason, I think it's tremendous. We're excited about the news. I'm so happy that you're able to make time for us here in the studio and for Kansas City to hear about what you're doing with the Veterans Community Project. Thanks for bringing your little buddy Brian around. I think it's really tremendous for you to try to show him the ropes and how to do all of this. Congratulations to both of you, and all the best. We will be tracking both of you, more Jason, we'll be tracking both of you down again in the future.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Jason Kander, Brian Meyer from the Veterans Community Project, VCP, online at veteranscommunityproject.org. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.